Today, the United Nations nuclear watchdog made its strongest warning yet of the possibility of a nuclear accident at Zaporizhia in Ukraine. Rafael Grossi said that a lack of external power and staff access to the plant make this moment critical.
Let me be clear. The shelling around Zaporizhia nuclear power plant must stop, and a nuclear safety and security protection zone agreed immediately. A nuclear power plant can never be a pawn of war. Its fate must not be decided by military means. The consequences of such action are far too grave.
Russia occupied Zaporizhia 6 months ago. This week, Nick Schifrin and his team traveled to the nearby village of Nikopol and discovered that Russia has made the nuclear plant a combat zone.
From behind a nuclear shield, Russia strikes Nikopol's civilian targets, including what used to be Lyudmila Shishanka's apartment. She and her son Pavlo stand in the spot a Russian rocket tore through the ceiling and the walls. It stole her home and her husband. 81-year-old Anatoly was killed on the spot.
He got this apartment. He was happy because he wanted to leave something for our children. He died and left nothing for his children.
The source of the strike seen through Nikopol's haze just 6 miles away, the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. A Nikopol resident provided this video, a Russian multiple launch rocket firing from the plant. It's an almost daily barrage. That's forced more than half of the city's residents to flee. Yevgeny Sinyekhin is 30 years old.
Why are you leaving, Nikopol?
We decided to leave after the shelling got close. At first, we thought it was somewhere far away and didn't pay attention. But the second night, our windows were shaking.
He fled with his 6-year-old son, Nikita, who keeps his most prized possessions close, and his wife, Marina.
Do you think your son understands what's happening?
Our son understands everything. We're telling him about everything.
You said you explain everything to him. What do you mean? What do you tell him is happening?
Our son has to understand what's happening because it's his history, a part of his life. If he grows up unaware of what's happening, he'll just forget it, and the events won't leave any trace. I want him to grow up knowing how hard we fought for our freedom.
The freedom that their friend Alyona lost. She was from Berdyansk. Russian troops poured into the city on the war's third week. They parked downtown and occupied. It remains under Russian control today.
A lot of soldiers came into our city. They started to kidnap everyone who refused to cooperate with the occupants. It's horrible what is happening there.
They only packed their favorite essentials so they could leave in a hurry. Desk lamps.
You've evacuated and you brought the frying pan.
We very love this postman.
And what gives them comfort? A dream catcher that Marina made after the February invasion.
Have you needed the dream catcher? Have you had a lot of nightmares?
When the war began, we gathered our friends and made this with the hope it would protect us.
But they're not the only ones under siege.
Have the Russians killed anyone at the plant? Have they tortured anyone? Have they threatened anyone?
This man is one of 4,000 Ukrainian workers that continue to operate the plant, down from 11,000. He agreed to speak to us if we kept him anonymous.
Yes, there is official information about injured employees, about the victims. Some served in the armed forces of Ukraine before. Some openly demonstrated their pro-Ukrainian position. This was enough for the Russians to trap those people in the basement and torture them over several weeks.
The 500 Russian soldiers occupying the plant parked their military vehicles inside. The UN says they're blocking emergency access routes. And the worker now says the Russians are trying to provoke the remaining workers into leaving.
I think they are trying to make the plant personnel escape in order to declare publicly to the entire world that, look, Ukraine has lost control, the operators left. So they will bring their personnel and announce that they are going to guarantee security.
We met him in western Ukraine, hundreds of miles from Zaporizhia. He was evacuating with his wife, their daughter and son, and their pets. But he feels it's his duty to return to work to help his Ukrainian colleagues who are preventing disaster.
Because there are very few people left there, and my colleagues work without days off. We must work at the plant, and we will keep working.
We will work here.
The head of Ukraine's nuclear authority, Energo Atom, Petro Kotin, said workers at the plant destroyed documents before the Russians arrived. Since taking the plant over, the Russians damaged the outgoing power lines that help provide one-fifth of the country's electricity, and they've also destroyed the lines that provide incoming electricity that help prevent a meltdown. Five of the plant's reactors are shut down. The sixth is still on, but only to provide the plant power.
Right now, the plant's only source of power is one of its own reactors. Right. Is that sustainable?
It is the first time in the history this type of reactor is operated in such a mode. We are lucky that this unit is operated for such a long period of time. But again, if there will be a shutdown of this unit, after that we will be relying only on diesel generators. And you know, the reliability of these diesel generators will be in question also.
That uncertainty terrifies some nuclear experts. One with decades of experience here wanted to speak to us anonymously because he's critical of the government's response.
Ukraine is not stopping the reactor, and the question is, why are the safety conditions not being met?
Ukraine's state nuclear authority confirms to PBS NewsHour it is considering shutting down the final reactor, but only when it has reliable incoming power. This expert says that's not fast enough.
If the safe operating conditions are off, the reactor plant must be shut down.
He warns there's a real risk that the damage so far could pale in comparison to what happens when you make a nuclear plant a combat zone. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin in Pokrov, Ukraine.